Someone told me the story on Shabbos, and I said I need to hear it from the person who it happened to. So I got in touch with him, and he sent me an 8.5 minute voice note telling me the story. And I listened to it many times because it was so nispal from the story. There's a fellow who is a photographer. He's a photographer. Weddings, bar mitzvahs, engagement parties, whatever. Invite him to your simcha. And as any good photographer knows, your greatest fear in the world is, God forbid, to lose someone's pictures. Can you imagine? You shoot someone's wedding, and then you're like, yeah, I lost all your photos. There's literally no pictures from your wedding. Again, I don't know that there's such an Indian. You have to have pictures from your wedding. I mean, you should just be happy that you have each other. You're married. But I can imagine if a photographer lost the photos from a wedding, that would be a pretty difficult conversation with the chassan and kala and their family, who paid you thousands of dollars to shoot their wedding. Anyway, so this photographer has a whole system to make sure that never happens. He's got a whole system. When he takes the SD cards out of his camera, he puts them in a special vault, and when he transports them to his office from his home, he has a whole system, like checks and balances, to make sure he doesn't misplace any of the chips that have the photos on it. So he said one time he did a wedding, and after the wedding he took the SD card out of the camera, and he was going to just upload a couple of photos onto his computer after the wedding, because he got some really good pictures. He was going to use it for some PR that he was putting out for an ad. And then the next morning when he left to go to his office, so he pulled the SD cards out of the computer and he was taking them. He took them in his hand, which he never does. He always puts it as a whole. He said, I always put it in this special thing, I lock it, make sure. Huh? And he takes it in his hand because he's rushing, and he goes to his car, and he puts the SD cards down in like the cup holder or whatever. And then he gets to his office, and he says he was hungry, so he decides to stop off somewhere. He goes to grab a bagel or whatever. And he gets to his office, and happens to be someone was borrowing his car for a date. Someone asked him if they could borrow his car to go on a date. He said, yeah, the car's a little messy. If you want, you can take the car. You can, just take it to the car wash or whatever. Whatever you need to, just clean out and, like, throw out whatever you find in the car, like any garbage or... Anyway, so at the end of the day, this guy's looking for the SD cards. He's like, wait, what did I do with those SD cards? I had them in my hand. I left them. He goes back to his home. He checks his home. They didn't leave them at home. He's trying to remember. I thought I took them in my hand, put them in the car. Maybe I was holding them. I put them in my pocket. He's like, oh, I never do this. You're not supposed to, it's like one of his rules. You don't put it in your pocket. Anyways, he's like looking everywhere. He goes back to his office, drives back to his office. He's frantic. He's looking. He's like dumping out his desk drawer. He's looking everywhere. Can't find them. Goes back to the place where he had breakfast that morning. He's looking. He's asking, did anyone find anything? Nothing. He's searching. He's looking. He can't. He's like totally beside himself. He spends hours. He's going, retracing his steps, going anywhere and everywhere, trying to find it. He goes back to the car wash. He's going through the garbage bags. He's like, momish, whatever. And he's thinking to himself, like, this is it. Like, I messed up. I'm going to have to face this chassan and kala and tell them that I lost all of the photos from their wedding. And he davened to Hashem. He said he got into bed that night. He said it was like, he had been in his office like late at night. He's looking everywhere. He's trying. He's davening. He's hoping. He gets into bed. He's like, I can't fall asleep. He's so beside himself. He says he wakes up the next morning, and he's on his way back to his office, and he calls his friend. He says, Hashem is going to do a miracle for me today. He has to. He has to. He said, Hashem, you could punish me some other way. I can't face this chassan and kala. He said he had a particular connection to this chassan and kala, like even more so, like very special to him, like a family connection or a very close family friend. I don't know what it was exactly, but he's like, I can't not find these SD cards. I have to find these wedding pictures. And he called his friend. He's like, Hashem, he's like, I'm telling you, Hashem's Rachmanis is so great. Hashem is going to perform a miracle for me today. I'm going to find those SD cards. I know it's like beyond the Ayosh at this point, but Hashem is going to help me find the SD cards. He goes back to his office. He goes back to the restaurant. He goes back to the car wash. And he says to the guys at the car wash, he's like, I know this is going to sound crazy. Can you open up like all of the vacuum, the air vac things? I'm looking for something that I think might have gotten, sucked up into one of the machines. When was the last time the machines were emptied? So They say, oh, we empty them every 3 days or so. It hasn't been emptied in a couple of days. So he said, I know this is like crazy, but I need to just like go through all the garbage here. So they're like, all right, whatever. You know, as long as you like sweep it back up. So they open up the things. You know, it's like this huge pile of dirt from the vacuums at the car wash. He said a lizard hops out. A little lizard hops out and like scares them. He said the car wash guys are laughing at him. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you looking for? And he literally said he got down on his hands and knees. He's literally sifting through this pile of dirt. And he's davening. He's like, please, Hashem, I don't know where else to look. I checked my office. I checked the restaurant's garbage is like long gone at this point. I've looked everywhere. He's like, Hashem, you have to just make it be here. Like, I need to find these SD cards. And he said, 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 7 minutes. He's like, after about like 8 minutes of like sifting through this disgusting, you know, dirt and dust, he finds one of the SD cards. And he said, he was like, he jumps up. He's like, Hodu Lashem Kid. He said he was running around the parking lot. He runs to his car, sticks it into his, see if it works. Could have been broken. Sticks it into his camera. He sees it's it. It's the right one. He's like, the other one's got to be here also. He's sitting there. He's sifting through. He finds the other one. He finds the second. He said, Moshe Tzvi, I was dancing in the parking lot for like 10 minutes straight, just singing praises to Hashem. And he said, when I left, I got back in my car and I went wherever he was going. He said, when I got to where I was going, he said, I literally just broke down crying. And he said, I've cried many times in my life for sadness and from pain. He said, I never cried tears of pure joy like I cried that day. So when I heard this story, I said, that is a Hanukkah story. That's Hanukkah. Right? So that's Mamash Hanukkah. Because Shenichlus Yavanim LaHeichal, the Yavanim came into the Heichal, they totally wrecked the place. Right? And everything was lost. Everything was gone. We lent the Gemara, right? We spoke about it. And then the Chashmonaim come in, source number one, right? The Chashmonaim come in, and Badku, where it's bolded, Badku velo matu ala pach echad shel shem. The word Badku is so chashiv. Because that means they had the courage when everything was destroyed, when it was like totally beyond Yayush, way beyond despair, the Chashmonaim were like, no, there has to be a pach shem in here. We've got to find it. It has to be here somewhere. They get down and they're searching. And remember, we learned, Tos was his question, right? Where did they find the pach shem? Literally buried in the dirt. They got down on their hands and knees, and the Yavanim were probably, right? Whatever, Yavanim were, you know, metaphorically speaking, were laughing at them. What are you doing? There's nothing left here. And they said, no, Hashem is not going to abandon us. There has to be. It has to be here. The pach shem has to be here. And they searched and they searched and they searched, badku, until finally they found that pach echa shel shem. So I want to use this story about this photographer, which again to me is a Hanukkah story, to try to explore a little bit more, you know, the whole inyan of that pach shem. Because the Beis Yosef has the famous question. What's the Beis Yosef's famous question? It was a famous question of Hanukkah. Why do we have 8 nights of Hanukkah? We should have 7 nights of Hanukkah. We had enough oil for one night. And the Beis Yosef gives 3 answers to this question. Okay? We touched on some of this a little bit in different shiurim. All right, what's the Beis Yosef's first answer to the question? Beis Yosef says, those of us who learned Maharal a couple weeks ago, on Sunday we touched on this. All right, the Beis Yosef's first answer, in source number 2, where it's bolded, Shechilku shemen shebapach l'shmona chalakim. They divided up the oil into 8 smaller portions. Uvechol laila hayu nosdim b'menorah chelak echad. And each night they put in 1/8 of the amount of oil that the menorah would have needed to last the night. V'hayadolek ad haboker. And the miracle was that it lasted all night. V'nimsa shebechol halelos nasane. So that means every night it was a miracle. Right? The fact that each night they only put in a portion of oil, they only put in 1/8 of the amount that was needed for the entire night, and yet that 1/8 was able to last the entire night. So that was true for all 8 nights. So every night was in fact a miracle. However, what's the problem with this approach? What's the critique of the Beis Yosef? So there are 2 critiques. Critique number 1 is that what they did was against the halacha. And what they did was against another halacha / hashkafa of a Jew. What was the first halachic thing they did wrong? There's a right amount of oil that you're supposed to put in. Right? The Pri Chadash, in source number 3 on the Shulchan Aruch, the Pri Chadash says, I don't understand. The Gemara tells us in Menachos, the Gemara tells us in Meseches Yoma, the Torah tells us, Hashem tells us in Chumash, Mei Erev Ad Boker, which means what? The Gemara says, Mei Erev Ad Boker is part of your obligation. Tein la midasa, shetehido lekes v'holeches kol alayla me'erev ad boker. You have to put enough oil in the menorah that it should be able to last naturally from erev to boker. So if you fill the menorah up only a portion of the way, so that's not the mitzvah. How much wine do you need in a cup to make kiddush? Rivius. Right. So you decide to put in half rivius. That's nice. That's not the mitzvah. That's not how you do it. That's not the right way to do it. So the menorah, you have to fill it up in a way that can last me erev ad boker. They had enough oil to last for one night, so they should have. Says the Pri Chadash, Imkein ma'ro lechalku leches chalakim. Why did they divide it into eight smaller portions? That's not the mitzvah. That was inappropriate. And if you'll tell me, they knew that it was going to be 8 days, so they figured, you know, better to do a little something each day. No, better to do the mitzvah properly one day than to do like a zecher to the mitzvah for 8 days. To have it burn for a couple of minutes each night for 8 nights. That's not the mitzvah. That's question one. And question two, the Me'iri, who lived before the Beis Yosef, right, Me'iri Zerishon, but the Me'iri was aware of this, you know, approach also, that why do we have 8 nights of Hanukkah? We should have seven. We call it the question of Beis Yosef. He's not the first one to ever ask it. Right? But the Me'iri knows that some would offer such an explanation, that they divided the oil into eight smaller portions. And the Me'iri says that's inappropriate, not only because it violates that halacha, like the Pri Chadash said, but the Me'iri writes in source number four, where it's bolded, Ve'ein nira li. What right did they have? Let's say they were hoping that something miraculous would happen. We have a rule. The Gemara tells us, Ein somchin al hanes. We don't rely on miracles. So once again, after the first night, they saw it work, they kept doing it and it kept working. But what right did they have the first night to divide it up? They were hoping that maybe that little portion would last the entire night? They were davening that they should have a miracle? Ein somchin al hanes. Ein somchin al hanes. The Torah says we're not supposed to do foolish things and then ask Hashem to bail us out. We're not supposed to challenge Hashem. We're not supposed to test Hashem. You know, there's a pasuk in Chumash that says that. Shlomazam, you got a source sheet? There's a pasuk in Chumash that says in Chumash Devarim, in Parshas Ve'eschanan, in source number 5, Lo tinasu es Hashem elokeichem. Don't test God. Oh. Don't test God. So actually, in yesterday's Daf Yomi, which is the next source, Tanis Daf Tes, the Gemara says there's one exception to the rule. Very good. What is the exception to the rule? When are you allowed to test Hashem? Rabbi Yochanan says on the pasuk Aser Ta'aser, Aser Bishvil Shetis Asher, give tzedakah and say to Hashem, I'm giving this money so that I will become rich. Hashem says, fine, test me. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that. Nope, when it comes to tzedakah, that's the exception to the rule. You're allowed to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Yoma brings this pasuk, this idea of lo tinasu es Hashem, to teach she'ein lismoch al hanes. Ein somchin al hanes. In fact, I'll tell you a very interesting halacha. Do the Jewish people believe in mazel? Do you believe in reading the stars? And the like? So the answer is sort of yes, sort of no. Right? We sort of believe that it's a real thing. We also believe Ein Mazel the Yisrael, which means that we're not bound by Mazel. But let's say you made the mistake and you accidentally read the stars. And you saw it's a bad zman to plant wheat. Should you do it anyways? Ein Mazel the Yisrael, I'm not bound by it. Yeah, but now you kind of know. You know, you got the info already. You probably shouldn't have gotten the info, but once you got the info, what should you do? So believe it or not, the halacha says in Yoredeya, it's in Kufayin Test in source number 8, the Ramah brings, based on a tshuva, based on a teaching from the Ramban, Shulchan Aruch says, take a look at this, the Ramah, and the Shulchan Aruch says, B'ma she'odem yodeya shu keneged ha-mazel lo yaseh. A person shouldn't do something that goes against mazel. So that means if you read the stars, and you know what's supposed to happen, so don't fight it. Because at that point, if you know that naturally this is a bad idea, and you're going to do it anyways, you're going to ask Hashem to make it work for you, that's not fair. Ain't somchan al hanes. Ideally, says the Ramah, ideally you shouldn't get involved with this. Tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha, right? Be wholesome with Hashem. You didn't have to check, but once you got the info, then you got to be rational. Right? You got to. If you know that this is a bad idea, so then don't do it. Ain't som chenal anes. Okay. So two questions on the behavior of the Chashmonaim. Again, according to the first of the Beis Yosef's three answers. Why was the first night a miracle? They divided it into eight smaller portions. Why would they do that? Number one, says the Pri Chadash, you have an obligation to fill the menorah properly. And second of all, if you're going to tell me that they were hoping to see something miraculous, that was chutzpahdik. They had no right. They had no right to expect to see something miraculous. Okay, David, and then Jack, and then Avi. Yeah, you had your hand up before.
I forgot which Rabbi Bar this is about, but the story of his daughter, where is she?
Chanina ben Doisa, yeah. Yes. Tanis Daf Chafei. Chanina ben Doisa's daughter put vinegar in the menorah instead of oil. And Chanina said to his daughter, the same God who commands oil to burn can command vinegar to burn. So that's leads to a very beautiful answer to this question of the Beis Yosef. That's a different share. I love that share. Given that share.
Isn't that everything's...
That even natural, yeah, even natural things are a miracle, right? The first night, this approach just says that, based on that Gemara, that when you realize that even oil burning is a miracle, so 7 nights we celebrate that which is, you know, the extra miracle. But the first night is to acknowledge that, you know what, let's pause and notice that even regular oil burning is a miracle.
Is that one of the answers?
Okay, that's not one of the Beis Yosef's answers, but that's one of the answers the Bali Musar gives. Yeah, yeah, it's an answer that's brought from the Bali Musar. It's a beautiful answer. There's a lot to develop about, you know, Lahodu Shalahado, Chanukah being a time of appreciating the miracles of our life, kind of the regular miracles of our life, not just the supernatural miracles of our life. There's a letter from the Chazon Ish, where the Chazon Ish says, what we call Teva is such a gevaldic line. Chazon Ish says, Donnie, this one should go in the notebook, you know what I'm saying? This is like a very chashuv line. The Chazon Ish says, what we call natural is just a miracle that Hashem desires more often. I love that. That's a great line, no? What we call nature are just miracles that happen all the time, so we stop noticing it. You know how crazy it is your heart is beating in your chest right now? You know how insane it is that there's a fireball floating in the sky right now? Oh, you mean the sun? It's always there. But Kriyas Yamsuv, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, look, the water split. So I'll say, whoa, look, your eye is able to see pictures. Nah, come on, that's natural. That's how it's supposed to be. That's how it always works. So Chazon Ish says, what we call Teva is just miracles that we've gotten used to. Miracles that Hashem chooses to do more often. I love that. Such a beautiful way to say it. Okay, Rabbi Jack, Gedalia Aaron, what do you say?
Just a clarification.
Yeah, sure.
I don't really understand the whole thing of reading the stars is that it's not based off of like Hashem, like people will do.
Again, it's a real chachma. It's a chachma, and it's a.
I'm saying it's Hashem, obviously.
Of course, it's based off of Hashem, but we're not bound by that. Will Amalim and Atevo.
So people are interpreting that in their own way.
When Avram Avinu read the stars and saw that he wasn't going to have a child, and Hashem took Avram, right? He took him hachutza. He took him outside. And Rashi says, he took him up above the stars. And he said, Sei mitztagninus shulcha. Get out of your, you know, get out of your astrology. Get out of your astronomy. Get out of the stars. You're above the stars. Right? So it's a real thing. But a Jew can choose to live beyond that. Ein mazal yisrael.
But it doesn't come from God.
What, those concepts?
Yeah.
Everything comes from Hashem.
No,
so mazal also comes from Hashem.
Came up with the astrology.
I don't know if that's 100. No, because Sefer Yetzirah talks a lot about the mazalos. So again, how we, you know, a lot of deep Torah, a lot of Kabbalah and Pnimiyas Torah deals with the mazalos. You walk into the entrance of this building. You ever notice the thing on the floor by the entrance? The chart of the mazalos. That's how you know why I use a Kabbalistic yeshiva. In case anyone was confused, right? But it's a big secret. That's why they put the big carpet on top of it, so no one should know. But really, we're a group of underground Kabbalists. Okay, don't tell anyone. Yeah. So it's a real thing. Right? The mazalos are a real thing. And again, there's a lot of Torah about mazalos. Sefer B'nai Yisrael starts off every month by telling you what it says in Sefer Yetzirah about the mazal of the month. Right? Over Pinson's books, they're all busy with the mazalos. You know, so it's real Torah. But there's something that is beyond Ein Mazel Yisrael.
Also, halachically,
yeah.
Would it be okay? This might be part of the question that students are asking, but is it better to be yotzei mitzvah one night versus...
Yes, that's what the pre-chadash is saying. It would have made more sense. Do the mitzvah right once than to do it wrong 8 nights in a row.
That's
what he's saying.
You're yotzei for one night and then like...
What should they have done? The pre-chadash says what they should have done is they should have poured all the oil into the menorah. They should have done the mitzvah that one night. And what are they going to do the next night? You know what they're going to do? Ones rachmana patre.
Take
one at a time. First of all, something could change, right? Or if not, Hashem will forgive them because they don't have oil. It's the third option, I'll tell you in a second. Yeah.
This may be a dumb question, but kind of is why did they need that night to have the 3 nights?
Because they knew they had a calculation. We said last week there were two possible reasons why they knew it was going to be 8 nights until they got more oil. Either they had to travel 4 days in each direction to get oil, or 7 days to purify themselves, and then an 8th day to make new pure oil. So they knew from the start it was going to be 8. Rechadish is critical. He says they should have do the mitzvah right. Erev ad boker, do it. Pour the oil in to last from night till morning. Okay. So perhaps to answer these two questions, we'll ask a third question, a very famous third question, which is what? Which is why do we need pure oil at all? I know we're so used to they found the pach shemen and it was tahor, right? Big victory of tara of kedusha over tuma. But why do they need pure oil at all? The chacham tzvi. In a tshuva, the Pnei Yoshua, in Mesechah Shabbos, they ask the same question. Ulechore yesh l'tmua, in source number 9. Kol ha-torech ha-neis ze'alama, the whole burden of this miracle. What do you need it for? What do you need the trouble with pure oil? They're so busy, they're sifting through the dirt. The ha-kaimolan tuma hutra b'tzibur. V'ayucholin lahadlik b'shem en tame. We have a rule that when the majority is tame, we're able to operate in a state of tuma. So if all the oil is tamei, you know what we do? We light the menorah with tamei oil. Is it our ideal? It's not our ideal. But it would have worked. It would have been fine. And that only strengthens our question. So let's say they did have one pure jar. So use the one pure jar the first night, and then they'll supplement the next 7 nights with impure oil. Why did Hashem have to bother to help them to discover this one, you know, miraculous jar? So explains the Pnei Yoshua Lakach Nira. The Iker Hanes Lo Nasa Elo Lahodio Lahem Chibas Hamakom Aleihem. Such beautiful words. This is really the essence of Hanukkah. The essence of Hanukkah is the love that we feel from a Kodesh Baruch at a time of utter destruction. You have to understand. I titled this Shir, Searching for Your Love, Drawing on Your Miracles, because Hashem's love is complicated. Hashem's love is complicated. I said something very chutzpah on Shabbos. I was talking to someone about this topic. I was learning with a friend. And I said, you know, the Pnei Yoshua is saying, like, you know what's so special about Hanukkah? When everything was tamei, they searched and they found that one jar, and that shows how much Hashem loves you. Right? So I said something very cynical. And again, I wasn't saying it in a cynical, but it sounds very cynical. And Chas Shalom mean it cynically. But I said it to make the point. So maybe Hashem, I have another idea. Instead of wrecking the Beis HaMikdash and then leaving one jar, how about you just love us by not wrecking the Beis HaMikdash? Right? Hashem loves us so much, He helped us to find... Look, Hashem's love for the Jewish people is complicated. What loving father has his people go through a Holocaust? That's what I said to this guy on Shabbat. I know it's like a super intense thing to say. But that highlights the question, right? The love of Hashem is very complicated. Why did Hashem take away the entire Beis HaMikdash and then help us find the Pach Shemen because He loves us? Why do you have to love us in such a... Why do you have to... The guy who left me this 8.5 minute voice note yesterday about these wedding pictures, he kept saying to me, he said, I kept feeling Hashem. When I found those, I felt Hashem's love. So I said, I was thinking, so maybe Hashem's love would have been to not take it away to begin with. Right? Either you're irresponsible, right? Or Hashem's love is really complicated, because why would Hashem take it away and put you through all of that fear and anxiety only to then find it? But he kept saying to me, it was dafka, by going through that fear and anxiety, it was dafka through that struggle that he came to the appreciation of Hashem's rachmanis. And that's really what happened. That's really what happened on Hanukkah. Why was the Beis HaMikdash ruined by the Yevanim? Why did it happen? What did we do wrong to get into this mess? The Bach on the tour The Bayis Chadash, he says, because we had become used to the Beis HaMikdash. We took it for granted. The Kohanim were getting lazy, the Bach says. Can you imagine? After 200 years of Bayis Sheni, we were used to it. If I wasn't... The same way a guy gets up and he goes to work in Midtown Manhattan, the Kohanim would wake up in the morning to go work in Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't kishmak. It wasn't interesting. They weren't noticing that they were working in Beis Hashem. So Hashem had to take it all away to help them to appreciate it. And then when they fought for it and they searched for it, they searched and they davened. And then Hashem gave them that Pach Shemen. It revealed the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had for the Jewish people. That's what the Pnei Yeshua is saying. The Iker HaNeis Lo Nase El Lo Hudi Alehem Chivas HaMakom Aleihem. You're right. They didn't need to have the oil last for 8 nights, but Hashem kept it burning as an expression of Hashem's love. That's the nace of the menorah was an expression of Hashem's love. But the truth is, we can take it even one step further, because the finding of the pach itself, not just the fact that it burnt for 8 nights, that's what the Pnei Yeshua is saying. The fact that it burnt for 8 nights, that miracle was an expression of Hashem's love. But even finding the pach was an expression of Hashem's love. I want to read together a letter from Rav Asher Weiss that he wrote to a Jew on Hanukkah 12 years ago. It's printed in the Minchas Asher, in the volume on Amunah and Bitachon, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita. It's letter number 27. It's called Igeres Chizuk. So Hanukkah Tavshin Ayin, 12 years ago. And he's writing to a man whose father is not well to give him Chizuk. And he writes such a beautiful thing. Let's read it together in source number 10. Kvod HaRav HaYakar. He says, I got your letter. Michtavo higiani, I received your letter. Umitztar ani b'tzaro v'dagaso l'shalom aviv hayakar. And I feel the pain. He's writing to him. The person wrote to him, my father's sick. And I'm very nervous about my father's health. So Rav Asher says, I feel the pain. And I'm davening to Hashem with you that your father should have refuah shleima. And then he writes in the next little paragraph, k'savta, you wrote, shekvod avich hayakar nitzal mimavis l'chaim v'nes. You wrote in your letter that your father was on the verge of death. And he survived. It was at the point where the doctors didn't think he was going to make it, and Baruch Hashem, he pulled through. He's not better yet. He's still sick. But your father was saved from death to life in a miraculous way. So says Rav Asher, V'yesh b'zeh k'dei l'schazek b'amuno b'bitachon. That should give you a tremendous sense of amuno b'bitachon. You know why? Because hello, kutchabrichu bori refuo supol yeshuos kvar asalones. Because you have to pause and reflect on the fact that Hashem has already done a miracle for your family. You're focused on the fact that your dad's not better yet. And I understand that's difficult. And Rav Asher says, I feel your pain. But also focus on the fact that you already saw a miracle. And he writes, velo avid kutchabrichu nisa lemigna, where it's bolted. Hashem doesn't do miracles for nothing. In other words, if Hashem made a miracle thus far, maybe you can hope that you're going to see more miracles. Draw on that miracle, like the title of today's shir. Draw on that miracle. Keep tapping into that miracle. Once you've seen one miracle, try to take it a little bit further. And he quotes Daf Yomi from 2 days ago, where the Gemara tells a story about people who were suffering from a famine and a plague. And they weren't sure, what should we focus on? Should we daven that God should give us food? Or should we daven that God should take away the plague? And they came to the very wise conclusion that we should daven for food. Even having food at a time like this would be miraculous. But you know, if we daven for food, you know, we're hinting to, I want to be alive to eat it. I want to be spared from the plague as well. Right? So Rav Asher Weiss says, realize miracle number one, and then you can try to extend it to encapsulate another miracle. So then Rav Asher Weiss says, and in reflecting on the illness of your father, now I understand the answer of the pre-Chadash's question. He writes in the next little paragraph, Venira, Dekev and Shekol, he I cut it out because we already learned it, but he quotes the Beis Yosef, why do we have 8 nights of Chanukah? They divided the oil. He quotes the pre-Chadash's question, what right did they have to divide the oil? Right? What right do they have to divide the oil? Do the mitzvah properly one night. Or the Meiri's question, Ein Som Chanal Anes, what are you doing? Do the mitzvah right one time. So Rav Asher says an amazing thing. V'nira dekeven shekol mitzios pach shemen tar chosum b'chos mo shekol en gadol hayu b'cheskas nes. The very finding of that jar of oil was itself miraculous. That the Chashmonaim even had the courage or the thought that Hashem must, it has to be here. And they're searching, literally, they're sifting through the dirt to try to find it. The very fact that they found that one jar that was somehow untouched, that itself was a miracle. The Haloa Yavanim Chilu as Kol Klei HaMikdash, the Yavanim wrecked everything. Pirtzu Yud Gimel Pirtzos B'chom Oseah, they breached the wall in 13 places. Timu Kol Eshmanim, they ruined everything. And then all of a sudden they find this one jar that somehow is untouched by the Yavanim. Rav Asher says that's an open miracle. He says that's a Nez Galui, that's an open miracle. And therefore, you know what they said? You know what the Chashmonaim said? What right did they have to divide the oil into 8 smaller portions? Ein som chana anis. Do the mitzvah right. Says Rav Asher, once they already saw, once they appreciated that finding that jar was a miracle, they said, we are living in a time of miracles. And therefore, it's not unreasonable to what? To continue to expect to see more miracles. That's what they did. He writes, V'nei zehel bishan ruach oz u'gvura. They were girded with a strength. V'ruach amuna u'bitachon. Shebevadai HaKadosh Baruch Hu yasalem od nesu pela. Once they saw one miracle, they said, it's not, now our reality is miracles. It's not asking too much. We're living in a time of miracles. You think Hashem gave us this little jar of oil only for us to then get stuck using tamay oil for 7 nights? No, no, no. They had their eyes open and they recognized that what? That this miracle, right? Just like mitzvah goreres mitzvah, avera goreres avera, nes goreres nes. Miracle goreres miracle. They realize one miracle is going to lead to the next, and therefore, v'chol ki aigav nesom chananis. And in such a situation, you are allowed to be somech al anes. And he concludes the letter, v'avu v'tfila asher vais. Amazing. So when you're experiencing miracles, you can go vayter, you can keep extending that miracle. You know who else says the same vart in answering the Pri Chadash's question? The holy Baba V'Rebbe. Kedusha Sion, Rebbe Sion Halberstam. Hashem should avenge his blood. He died al Kiddush Hashem in 1941. The Holy Kedusha Sion says basically the same thing as Rav Asher. And then he adds, with this we can understand the tefillah. We can understand the Ma'os Sor. Have a listen to this and try to remember when you're standing in front of your neighbors in 1 week. Think about this. Uminosar kankanim, what do we say? Uminosar kankanim nase neis l'shoshanim. B'nei bina yemei shmona kavu shir urananim. Says the Kedusha Sion, says the Halig above the Rebbe, source number 11. With this we can understand the tefillah. Uminosar kankanim. From the fact that there was a jug that was left over, they didn't just say, we got lucky, the Yavanim missed this one. No, that was a miracle. To them, that was a miracle. Mimashin ishtar lehem pach shemen b'chos v'shakoyen gadol. Shehizmin lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this jar that was left over with the purity and the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Mizeh ra'u shenase neis la'shoshanim. They saw that as an ace. They realized we are shoshanim. That's an interesting term, shoshana. When are the Jews called shoshanim? Li'Yisrael shenikru shoshana lashon chiba. The term shoshana is a term of endearment. You know why? Because think about the shoshana. Think about the rose. The rose is surrounded on all sides by thorns. Sometimes those thorns even pierce the beautiful petals of the rose. Like the Vilna Gaon writes in his commentary on Shir HaShirim, one of the wonders of creation is that those thorns that pierce the rose's petals, sometimes the petals will regenerate. They'll be able to be healed. In other words, despite the fact that the Jewish people suffer a lot or under attack, and sometimes the Beis HaMikdash is wrecked, but the Shoshana lives on. The rose emerges from the thorns. So Bnei Yisrael, the Chashmonaim, Minosar Kankanim, when they realized that the leftover jug, Nasa Nes, they saw it as a miracle. Leshoshanim, Hashem still loves us, like the Pnei Yoshua said. So therefore what? What's the next line? Bnei Bina Yemei Shmona. What is Bina? Understanding. What does that mean? What does Rashi and Chumash say Bina is? What type of knowledge is called Bina? To be Mevin Davar Mitoch Davar. To extract something from something else. And that's why women have Bina Yesera. The ultimate extraction of something from something is a child that comes from a person within a person. Right? So women have the ability to carry another human being, etc. That's the ultimate Bina, to be Maven Davar Mitoch Davar. To take something out of something else. So when they realize they're already experiencing miracles, when they realized finding the jar itself was a miracle, so then Bnei Bina, they said, oh, one miracle, okay, let's keep going. Let's be Maven Davar Mitoch Davar. Let's get more miracles. They divided up the jar into 8 smaller portions. And what? Bnei Bina Yemei Shmona. That answers the Beis Yosef's question. Why do we have 8 days of Chanukah? It should be 7 days of Chanukah. No, because they divided up the oil. What right did they have to divide up the oil? Ein Tzom Chana Anes. That's only true if you're not already experiencing miracles. But once you're experiencing miracles, you have a right to what? To continue to tap into that miracle again and again and again. Chanukah is a time where it's appropriate not just to what? To recall miracles, but to ask for miracles. To tap into, by Amim Ahim Bazman Azeh, like the Kedushas Levi says. By Amim Ahim, what happened then? Bazman Azeh is happening now. Tap into those miriacles. Ask for crazy things on Chanukah. Daven for anything and everything. What's the halach if you forgot to say Al Anisim in benching? You have to repeat or no? If you forgot Ritzeh on Shabbos, you have to repeat benching? Yes, you repeat benching. Okay. What if you forgot Yalav V'Yavo on Rosh Chodesh in benching? There's no chiyav to have a suda, right? The way to remember it, when there's an obligation to have a meal, if you mess with the benching, you have to repeat benching. You don't have to have a meal on Rosh Chodesh, so if you forgot Yalav V'Yavo in benching, you don't repeat. Is there an obligation to have a meal on Chanukah? No. So if you forgot Yalav V'Yavo, you don't repeat. However, says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 12, but if you want, you can add a special harachaman at the end of your benching. Says the Shulchan Aruch, says the Raman, source number 12, you can say harachaman hu yasa lanu nisim kamo sha'asa bayamim ahim. You can say harachaman hu yasa lanu nisim. Hashem should make miracles for us like he did in those days. Trevor, what do you think the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch ask on this Ramah? What do you think all the poskim on the side of the page ask? You can't daven for miracles. Harachaman hu yasa lanu nisim. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to say that. Right? The longer text is Harachaman hu yasa lanu nisim v'niflaos kashem sha'asisa labosenu b'yimim ahim b'zman hazeh. And then you can continue after the Harachaman. You can say the whole Bimei Matisyahu. What kind of harachman is this? You forgot to say Al Anisim, so now you could say harachman, God should make miracles for us. The post came on the side of the page. Ask on the Ramah, how are you allowed to do this? What's the answer? Chanukah is different. Chanukah is different. On Chanukah, yes, you can ask for miracles. Because Hashem was megala his love for the Jewish people in a miraculous way, and therefore we're allowed to continue to build off of that. Right? We feel that love in a unique way, and we don't stop there. We keep building off of it. The Rambam writes something about Chanukah that he writes by no other mitzvah. What is the most precious mitzvah of all? Is it Shabbos? Is it Lulav and Esrog? Is it Shofar? Is it Tefillin? Is it keeping kosher? Taras HaMishpacha? Don't speak Lashon Hara? What is it? Bringing Karbanos? It's Chanukah. The Rambam writes in Source 13, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. Mitzvah Ner Chanukah is the most beloved mitzvah. The Rambam doesn't call Shabbos Chaviva. He doesn't call davening chaviva. He doesn't call giving tzedakah chaviva. Ram says the mitzvah is chaviva hi ad ma'od. The mitzvah that most Jews, regardless of how religious they are, keep. Is that symbol, of, right? The Jewish calendar symbol, the symbol of a Jewish holiday more than any other is the menorah. That's the ultimate Jewish symbol. It's very special to the Jewish people. Chaviva hi ad ma'od. Where did the Rambam get that term from? Chanukah is chaviva ad ma'od. Everyone wants to know, where did the Rambam get this expression from? It's beautiful. It's poetic. Where did he get it? He doesn't call anything else by this name, by this term. So some say, it could be, in a certain sense, he's borrowing from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Because in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Akiva says, you know what else is chaviv? You know what's chaviv? Says Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah in Avos, in Source 14, chavivin Yisrael. Shenikru banim lamakom. Precious are the Jewish people that were called banim lamakom. We're called HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. Chiba yisera nodas lahem shenikru banim lamakom. It's even more that Hashem, not only are we His children, Hashem told us and informed us. Hashem expressed to us how much He loves us and considers us His children. As it says in the Torah, banim atem laHashem Elokeicha. So if Chanukah is a mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od, it's such a special mitzvah. Why? What's so special about Chanukah? Because chaviv in Yisrael shenikru banim lamakom. Like a parent's love for a child. that even when the child has ruined everything, right, there's still a level of connection that exists. That's what the Pach Shemen represents. When everything is lost, when everything is ruined, when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Chashmonaim said there's got to be a point of connection. It's got to be here. And they dug until they found that Pach Shemen, which the Pnei Yeshua says was an expression of Hashem's love for us. Right? The finding of that oil itself was a miracle. It's the miracle of Hashem's love for the Jewish people that goes beyond anything rational. It's the most irrational thing in the world, Hashem's love for the Jewish people. So, however, let me end with an amazing part from the Majid Sarebi, whose yartzeit was this Shabbos. The Yisa Bracha. Majid. This is a Gevaldik part. The Pasuk says in Chumash, in Source 15, Eila Moedei Hashem, Mikroi Kodesh, Asher Tikru'u Osam B'moedam. Recognize this Pasuk? Familiar Pasuk? Eila Moedei Hashem, these are the holidays of Hashem, Asher Tikru'u Osam B'moedam. That are established. The holidays Asher Tikru'u Osam. Right? That you should establish them in their season, in their times. We know, Chevra, that what? That the Jewish people have the ability to set up the calendar. We're in charge of the calendar. We established the calendar. Hashem empowers us to look at the moon, again in the olden days, come to Beis HaMikdash, Mesechet Rosh Hashanah, and say, this is what I saw. Okay, they ask you questions. Okay, today's Rosh Chodesh. Send out the messengers, let people know when the Yom Tov is going to be. Fine. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, in Surah 16, says, also from Rabbi Akiva, the same one who a moment ago told us how lucky we are to be called Hashem's children, the same Rabbi Akiva said a drasha. He said, it says in the Torah three times when discussing the holidays the word Osam. Harehu Omer Osam, Osam, Osam. Rosh Hashanah Daf Chafheim and Aleph in Source 16. It says, Osam, 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 Sholosh Pe'amim. So says Rabbi Akiva, the word Osam can be read what? Atem. And the Torah doesn't have Nekudos. We pronounce it Osam. Asher Tikru'u Osam. But says Rabbi Akiva, you could read it Asher Tikru'u, not Osam, but Atem. Says Rabbi Akiva, what does that mean? It means that Hashem has empowered us to determine when Rosh Chodesh is. Atem, you, the Jewish people, are given the authority. Hashem loves you so much, He gives you this power, even when you misuse it. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Atem Afilu Shogigin. You have the ability to establish Rosh Chodesh even if you're mistaken. Atem afilu mezidin, even if you intentionally declare Rosh Chodesh, if you declare it, it works. Atem afilu mutin, it works even if you're misguided. If, let's say, Edom Zomim come, you know, false witnesses come to Beis HaMikdash, and they say, oh yeah, we saw the moon, and they lie, and the basin falls for it. So whether you're mistakenly wrong, or you're intentionally wrong, or you're misguided by someone else, nonetheless, if you say it's Rosh Chodesh, if Bnei Yisrael, if Klal Yisrael, if Beis Din, if Beis HaMikdash declares Rosh Chodesh, then that's it. It works. Even if it's mistaken. B'lashon hazeh amar lo, Akiva nicham tanu, Akiva nicham tani. Right? Akiva, you gave me comfort with this drasha. What's so comforting about this drasha, Rabbi Akiva? So the Majid Sarebi, in verse 17, quotes from his great-grandfather, Rabbi Cheskel of Kuzmir, and he says the following. If you're allowed to take the word Osam and read it as we just read it, how? We changed Osam to what? Atem. So then you can definitely read the word Atem as Atem. Right? If you're allowed to take a word of Chumash that's supposed to be pronounced Osam and you can read it Atem, so you can definitely take a word of Chumash that's supposed to be pronounced as Atem and read it as Atem. What does that mean? Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. This is one of my favorite parts. Banim atem laHashem Elokeichem means what? We could say the same drasha. Atem afilu shogigin. You're Hashem's children even if you rebel against Hashem by accident. Atem afilu mezidin. Atem afilu mutin. Even if you make mistakes, even if you act intentionally against Hashem, even if you're misguided by someone else. The same way we could take the word osam and read it atem afilu shogigin, atem afilu mezidin, atem afilu mutin. So too, banam atem laHashem Elokeichem. Hashem's love for the Jewish people is even when we rebel, even when we're misguided, even when we make mistakes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still considers us His children. And that's part of the celebration of Chanukah. So the Rambam says, it's chaviva hi ad ma'od. Because Chanukah highlights the love that Hashem has for us and just how far it goes. That's what Rabbi Yechezkel of Kuzmir, the great-grandfather of the Yisa Bracha, the Majid Rebbe, says. But then the Yisa Bracha, the Rebbe himself, says, but I'll take it just half a step further. You're going to love this. You're going to love this Varchai. Listen to this. What did Yaakov say to brother Esav? Who wants to kill him? And Yaakov himself, by the way, is worried that he used up all of his merits. He used up all of his miracles. Katonti mikol hachasadim, right? Yaakov says, I'm scared. He's dividing up his camp. He's scared that Esav's going to try to murder him. But he sends a message to Esav to try to be mechazik really himself. Hashem still loves me. Take a look. The pasuk says in source 18, Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav el Esav achiv. Yaakov sends messengers to Esav. Vayitzav osam lemor. And he commands them saying, Ko somru laduni laesav, ko amar avdecha Yaakov im lavan garti veichar at ata. Yeah, it says ko twice in the pasuk. Chanu chafei. It's definitely, you know there's Chanukah hiding somewhere in here. So the Majlis Rebbe says the following. What does Rashi say on Vayishlach Yaakov malachim? What does Rashi say in the second to last source? Yaakov sent what? Angels. Malachim mamish. Real angels. You might think that malachim means messengers, which sometimes it does mean in Tanakh. You should know that malachim here means what? Angels means angels, not messengers. Malachim means malachim mamish. Real angels. And what was the message? Go tell Esav. Vayitzav osam lemor. He told the angels, go tell Esav the drasha on the word osam. That was the message. Vayitzav osam. Go tell him this drasha about that osam can be read as what? Atem. Atem afilo shogin, atem afilo mezidin, atem afilo mutin. And go tell Esav that what? Banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. Esav, in case you think that I've lost Hashem's merit. So first of all, im lavan garti, v'tarag mitzvos shamarti. First of all, I'm a pretty good Jew. But even if I used up my merit, even if I'm a bad Jew, says Yaakov, you should know that Hashem loves even a bad Jew. Hashem loves even a Jew who is misbehaving. Hashem loves a Jew who even is shogeg, a Jew who's even mazed, a Jew who's even misguided, who's mutin. So says the Majlis Rebbe, he says, what does Rashi say? Malachim mamish, right? Real angels. Nuchever, what does mamish stand for? Mamish stands for mezidin, mutin, shogegim. Kaval. Go tell brother Esav that even if I rebelled against Hashem, and even if I'm mutin, even if I'm misguided, and even if shogin, says the Majlis Rebbe, even if I messed up a shogin, go tell him. But Yitzav Osam Lemor. Go tell him the drasha. Rabbi Akiva's drasha about Osam. Rabbi Akiva says Chaviv in Yisrael Shnikru Banim L'Makom. That Hashem is obsessed with us. Hashem loves us. So the avoda of Chanukah, going back to the story that we started with, is to believe that you're going to be zochet to nisim. That guy told me he called his friend on his way to that car wash. And he said, I'm telling you, I'm going to see a miracle now. His friend's like, I don't know why you feel that. I'm telling you, I know Hashem's going to make miracles for me. I'm telling you, I feel it. I just feel it. On Chanukah, every Jew has the right to say that. I feel that Hashem is going to do miracles for me. And I tap into those miracles and I say, once I've seen a miracle, I'm going to go for more. Like Rav Asher Weiss was machazik that Jew. Your father's sick. He almost died. I know he's not better yet. But the fact that he didn't die was a miracle. So now keep davening that he should have a refuah shleima. Oh, the doctors are like, who cares? You saw one miracle, make more miracles. Turn one nace into another nace. So just look at the last source. I know the Gaval de Gemara. The Gemara says, no, it's not on the sheet? That's there, yeah? We're on Shabbos, source 20. The Gemara says, you should always try to be like Hillel and not like Shammai. Shammai was also a big tzaddik, but you should be like Hillel, not like Shammai. Hillel has a lot to do with Chanukah. Chanukah is the time of the Hodas u'la Halel. It has a lot to do with Hillel. So Hillel was very patient, the Gemara says. Shammai had a little bit more of a temper. Shammai was more easily agitated. You should be a person who's very patient, very understanding, like Hillel. Right? Don't be too fiery, don't be too feisty like Shammai. So the Gemara says, two guys once made a bet. They made a bet if they could get Hillel angry. One of them said, I'm telling you, Hillel's the most patient guy. You're not going to be able to get him angry. And the other one said, trust me, I know how to get under people's skin. I'm going to get Hillel. So they made a wager. They made a bet. All right. So the guy who claimed, you know, that he can get Hillel angry shows up at Hillel's house on Arab Shabbos. Knocks on the door. Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Is there someone here named Hillel? Someone here named Hillel? Hillel comes to the door. Shalom Aleichem. How can I help you? It's Arab Shabbos. You know, it's a busy time. You have a shayla for the rabbi, you can call the rabbi on Erev Shabbos also. But, you know, if you want to just like stam shmooze, like Erev Shabbos is not always the best time, right? To just, you know, to just hang out. pressing Shiloh. He calls. So Hillel comes running to the door. He figures a pressing Shiloh. Opens the door. Hi, what can I do for you? Why do the people in Africa have big feet? That's your Shiloh? That's your question? Yeah. Hillel says, okay, very interesting question. And Hillel gives him an answer. That's it? That's what you were banging on my door? Like a Meshuggah on Arab Shah? Yeah. Okay. Very good. Have a good Shabbos. Okay. Fellow leaves. I thought Hillel would even scream at me just from that alone. Says the Gemara. He comes back an hour later. Second little paragraph, last little paragraph. Halach vehimtin sha achas chazer v'amar. Mikan Hillel. Comes back again an hour later, which means now it's that much closer to Shabbos. And Hillel's trying to take a shower or whatever. Nis'atif v'yotza l'krosa. He wraps himself and comes out. He hears banging on the door. Right, he gets out of the shower. Yeah, puts on his robe and comes to the door. Opens the door. Ah, you. This guy again. Amar lo, b'ni, ma ata mavakish? What can I do for you? Amar lo, she'ela yesh li lishal. I have a big shayla. No, what's your big shayla? Amar lo, sha'al b'ni, ask away. Sha'al. So I have a question. B'pnei ma'einein shel tarmudain trutos? Why do the tarmudayim have narrow eyes? Seriously, this is what you're banging on my door? This is what I got out of the shower for? That's what I would have said. I would have slammed the door in the guy's face. Amar lo, ah! Bini, she'ela gedayla she'alta, ah, gavaldik shayla, thank you so much for coming by on an Arab Shabbos, this close to candle lighting, I can't thank you enough. It's a gavaldik shayla. I'll tell you why. Mipnei shedorin ben acholos. Because they live in a sandy region, and the sand is always blowing. And when you get sand in your eyes, it hurts. So they're often squinting to try to keep the sand out of their eyes. That's why they have very narrow eyes. That's why the Tarmudayin have narrow eyes. Very interesting. The Tarmudayin of narrow eyes. Okay. Nope. However, you know who the Tarmudayin are, right? I'm not saying who they are in the world today. But maybe. But who are the Tarmudayin in the context of Hanukkah? Who are the Tarmudayin? When do we light the menorah? Actually, tichla regel menashunk. Right? Till the feet leave the marketplace. And the Gemara says, who? What feet? Who's the last one out of the marketplace? Who's the most connected to Olam Haza? Always trying to, you know, close one last deal. The merchants. Who are those last merchants to leave the marketplace? The Gemara says, Regla de Tarmudai. The Tarmudai are the last ones to leave the marketplace. The Tarmudai. The Tarmudai were not good people. The Gemara says in Yavamis, they were not good people. They were bad people. And they were the last ones in the marketplace. And what did Hillel say? The Tarmudai, they're Darin Ben HaCholos. They live in the world of Chol, of the mundane. Right? Like Kodesh and Chol, they're the opposite of Kedusha. Right? And they have narrow eyes. What does it mean that they have narrow eyes? Right? It means that they don't know how to look deeper. They're not B'nai Bina. Right? The Chashmonaim, they saw that Pach Shemen, and they didn't just say, oh, we got lucky, we found an extra Pach. They saw it as a miraculous Pach. They opened their eyes to see that what? And that's what we do on Hanukkah. Ein lan reshus el ler osim bilvad. You're supposed to open your eyes wide by the menorah. Stare at the lights of the menorah until you start to see more things. The Tarmudayim have a very narrow view. A person who's looking for the miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, his eyes are wide open. B'nei bina, yemei shmona, kavu shir urananim. I was at a wedding the other night with my father. And my father told me, he said, what's the gematria of Tarmudai? I said, I don't know. What's the gematria of Tarmudai? My father said, Tarmudai is 661. Tarmudai. That's how they're called. Think, let's check it. 600, 40, 50, 61. 661. Right? 661. Tarmudai is 661. So we just learned that what? That the term of endearment for the Jewish people is Shoshana. Hashem calls us a Shoshana, his beloved Shoshana. The Shoshana, the rose that's surrounded by the thorns. Shoshana is also Gematria 661. But you can add one more thing. And that is on Hanukkah, you have to what? We're trying to draw out the miracles. Right? That's what they did. They took one little jar and they expanded it. They made it last for 8 nights. So if you take Hanukkah and you know how to draw it out. You know how to pull it out. What happens if you take Hanukkah and you draw it out? Okay, so let's draw out Hanukkah. Yeah, let's take the word Hanukkah. Let's draw out the letters of Hanukkah. Now, how do you spell Ches? How do you spell Ches? Let's draw it out. Let's spell with you. It's more common. Okay, so Ches. How do you spell Nun? Nun Vav Nun. Okay? How do you spell Vav? Vav.
whenever Vav and Hey have options. Okay? Some letters have options, some don't. Bays, you don't have options.
Only one way to solve Bays, Aleph, there's only one way to spell Aleph, Aleph, Lam, and Pet.
Vav has options. Let's leave Vav from it. Okay, how do you spell Chav?
Chav Pet. Okay, so what do we have so far?
Let's take the Ches and the Nun and the Chav. Because those letters for sure we know how to spell. So what are we up to so far? So we have 418. Nun is 106. And Chaf is another 100. So what do we have? What do we have so far? 624 so far?
Yeah, six. 418.
418, 106. Nun is Nun Bab Nun. 106. And then another 100.
624.
Okay, so we got 624 so far. Okay, good. Now, how do you spell Vav? There's three ways to spell Vav. You can spell Vav, Vav, Vav. You can spell Vav, Vav, Aleph, Vav. You can spell Vav, Vav, Yud, Vav. Okay? How do you spell Hey?
Hey.
So in the Kisvei Ariza, you have Hey, Aleph, you have Hey, Hey, and you have Hey, Yud. Which one should we use? And why?
We
don't want to just make the number. We want to have the biggest miracle. Let's use the biggest one. No?
Yeah.
You want big miracles or not?
Yeah.
We're trying to draw it as much as we can, no?
Yeah.
Let's use Yud. Okay, that's called Miloy Yudit. That means expanding with the letter Yud. It's called Miloy, expansion with Yud. Okay, so let's add Vav Yud Vav. We'll add another 22. And then we'll add another Hey Yud, we'll add another 15. We got 661?
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. So when you expand Chanukah, as much as you can expand it, right? When you open your eyes, B'nai Bina, the person who's Maven Davar Mitov Davar, you're drawing out those miracles. Don't be like a Tarmudai. Don't be a person who lives in the world of Chol, where everything is natural. Right? The world of Chol, the world of mundane, everything is natural. Be a type of person who opens his eyes on Chanukah. Who identifies that first miracle and just keeps harachaman, right? To say the harachaman. You know, you almost like want to mess up Al Nisim on purpose on Chanukah so you can say the special harachaman that Hashem should do miracles for us. Yes, Rav Leo.
I'm just relating that the Zohar teaches that the yod is the like expansion from one single point. It starts with like one little dot.
That's right. That's right. That's also part of the irony of what Yavan did, right? They took the yod vav nun, we explained. They took the yod and they tried to drag it down. But the truth is, we also want to expand the yod. Right? The yod is the shorish; it's that kernel which everything expands from. But they're dragging it in a downward way. Right? But we also want to expand the yod. The yod is that. The yod is that. You know, that. That little of the kuda from which everything emerges.
Also learned that you can cut the yod as much as well.
That's right. That's right. There's always more. That's right. Yod is the certain infinity to the yod, right? Which is what the world of ches is. Ches is lamalim and atav. It's infinite. So don't limit yourself on Chanukah. Try to extract, draw out as many nisim as you can on Chanukah. Don't be shy. Draw it all out. Okay? And I want to thank that Yid for losing his SD cards to inspire us. To realize that, you know, you can go sifting through the garbage, right? And knowing that a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to make miracles for people. You have to just believe that you're right to miracles. You're right. He told me, he said, I was macabre upon myself like a million things. Okay, shy, I got to find those wedding pictures. Baruch Hashem, he said he was crying tears of joy. Unbelievable. Okay, we should be zocher to see miracles. Shkoyach. Any questions, comments? Yeah, Javi.
I still have three questions.
Three questions, go for it.